Blessings, beautiful souls in this world. You are now listening to the newest episode on Coolie Baby Express's podcast. Take heed, let God speak into your spirit, and enjoy.
Peace, love, light, wisdom, guidance, discernment, and blessings. Beautiful souls in this world, I don't know, so we are not of this world. Welcome to Coolie Baby Express's podcast. Okay, and here we are on episode 16. Yeah. I don't know why I felt like doing that. But yo, I'm so amazed and so excited and so blessed and grateful. Listen, I never said this, but God gave me revelation on how to move. Remind you, God is the one who started this podcast. Remind you, this ministry is God's and not mine. Remind you, this podcast is God's and not mine. So remind you, God gave me some movements on how he wants his ministry to move going forward. Okay, I am just the person stewarding over this movement, this ministry, okay? And so what he told me was every 17 episodes will be one season, right? So this is episode 16, which means we have one more episode. Episode 17 will make season one of Coolie Baby Express's podcast. Yes, okay. And then starting episode 18, that will start the next set of 17 episodes, which will then be season two. So glory be to God, all praises to the Most High, true one and living God, okay, that we serve. Glory be to God. So I'm just amazed to be here, and let me tell you how episode 15 was very powerful. Okay, it was very powerful, and I hear from many people that it was such a confirming word, and for some it was so revealing. It was a revelation, all right? And this is why I decide to be obedient and be in position and do what I was called to do, because my calling, my gifts, and I'm speaking to you guys too, your calling and your gifts, the things that God placed on the inside of you, the things that you have a fire for on the inside of you, the things that God has revealed to you and exposed to you, dreamt you, gave you vision and provision that you are to be doing, wherever you are in your life right now, you feel like that could never be me, or you feel like I'm not adequate enough to do that, or you feel like that's not something that I would be able to accomplish in 1,000 years. Let me tell you, if God written it and said that that's you and said that that's yours and said that it shall be done, let me tell you how it shall be done, and it is so, and so shall it be. So I come to tell you today that whatever God has on the inside of you, let me tell you how it's not for you. Amen. It is not for you. Your gifts and your talents and the fire that you have consumed on the inside of you, okay, that goes hand in hand with a certain hobby that you may be very good at that actually leads people to Christ, okay? And I know a lot of people is like, how can a hobby lead people to Christ? You will be surprised, okay? Do not underestimate my God. Do not put my God in a box. God does not belong in a box. And that's the thing with a lot of people. That's the mistake that a lot of us make. All right. And I even see it in the body of Christ. A lot of us in the body of Christ make the mistake of putting God in a box. Like, oh, well, he's God, so he must be this, or he's God, so he has to do this, or he's God, so he, no, don't get it twisted. There's many things that, because God is God, oh yeah, this must come to pass because this is what he said. But let me tell you how Father said that I am doing a new thing. I am springing forth a new thing. Do you not perceive it? In the mighty name of Jesus. So I come to tell you today, whatever God has placed on the inside of you, whatever God has allowed you to realize that people actually are healed through what you do or what you say or the way you speak, and whatever it is, if people are healed and brought to Christ, all right, through a confirming word, your gift is not for you. It's for God's people. All right. And a wise man of God told me, if you've been following up with me, my spiritual father, Ricky, he has went to be with the Lord. And he told me before he left to go home. OK, he ran to go home. OK, I'm telling you that right now. Before he went back home, he told me, he was like, he was like, Chanella, that's my first name. For those of you that don't know, I know I go by Cooley, but, you know, and that's another thing. My name has, whew, some meaning to it, but that's a whole nother video, okay? But he said, Chanella, you have something that the world needs from God himself. And at first, like, I was trying to wrap my finger around it, like, okay, that sounds good, but what do you mean? Like, well, what is it? You know what I'm saying? And he said, the things that you have on the inside of you, it's transforming. And remind you, the Bible says we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, so he said, what you have inside of you is transforming, and it's for the world. And he said, please don't get stagnant in it. Please don't get lazy. Please don't get procrastinating in it, because listen, you're withholding what we need. You're withholding something that's ours. What lies on the inside of you, I came to tell you today, what lies on the inside of you is not your own. My God, it is not your own, and it belongs to the people of God. It belongs to the chosen vessels of God. It belongs to the people, the lost people of God, the lost sheep of God. It belongs to others. It does not belong to you. You are just a steward. Hallelujah. You are just a steward over it, and you are to have good stewardship. And in good steward, we talked about stewardship on one of our Moving Mondays. If you have not tuned into our Moving Mondays, what are you doing? Every Monday, we have a new Moving Monday video that is released at 5 a.m. in the rising, and then later on Monday night, 8:45 p.m. Eastern time, we go live. Listen, you need to start tuning in into this movement that God is doing, because he is not playing with his people. He's not playing at all. Okay, so we spoke of stewardship on one of our Moving Mondays, and God is really saying, along with accountability, we have to have stewardship, good stewardship. If God has given you something, first of all, it's not yours. The money you make is not yours. The house you live in is not yours, okay? The cars you drive, the family, the children that you have, my God, is not yours. Your spouse is not yours, okay? So once you live according, okay, on one accord, in accord to, on, okay, once you live in accordance to that truth right there, you begin to move in a way that God has ordained you to move from the very beginning, from way before you were placed in your mother's womb. Okay, what you have on the inside of you is not yours, but you are the manager of it. You are the supervisor of it. Okay, you are to steward over it. Okay, God is the CEO, all right, and we're the employee. You understand? So we are the employee that we have to steward over what was given to us to manage, okay, here in this realm, here on this earth, right? So that was a whole word in itself. But so today on this episode, episode 16, listen, I have come to talk about, because given by God, God needs his people to realize the account. The account. I just spoke on accountability. The account that we will take, that we must take while here on earth, and then the account that we will take when we go home. Because listen, what you do here on earth, the repenting that you do, the turning away from that you do, the anchoring that you do, and the fasting that you do, and the praying, the worshiping, all these things that you do, okay, you will have to go and take account for it, right? And you're either going to get a rewards, those crowns that God has promised to his people that has lived according to his word, all right? Or you're going to either have to stand there and give account to God of, why did not you follow him? Why you accepted his name, you accepted salvation, but you did not follow him with your life. You did not embody the lifestyle of which he asked you to do. You understand? So we're in Ezekiel chapter 33, okay? And I want to read verse 6, all right? So it reads, but if the watchman sees the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So with that, thank you, Lord. With that, I want to speak on, if God gave you something, all right, and then he also told you, gave you the blueprint of what to do with it, how to do it, where to take it and do it, with whom to. Let me tell you how descriptive and detailed God can be in your life. Once God needs something done for his people, he will let it be done for his people. You understand? So if he needs to give you certain things, because let me tell you how God knows his children. He knows you. He knows when your yes will be yes, and he knows when your no will be no. He knows when you're going to say, well, why? He knows when you're going to be like, well, I'm confused. He knows when you're going to be like, well, Father, I don't want to move until I get a right answer. God knows all of his kids. And let me tell you something. He knows me. And he knows that I'm one of his children, that he will show me something and I'll receive it and, you know, cry about it. And then after that, I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. But can you just give me that one other sign, you know, just so I can, you know, I believe you, Lord. I do. But I just want to see your hand move. And then I would, you know, I would really know, and I would know exactly how to move, because I'm so the type of person I am in the spirit. Sometimes I'm like real cautious because I know the truth of the spiritual realm and the natural realm. I know the truth of spiritual warfare. I know the truth of the demise and the deception of the enemy. I know the truth. So because I know the truth, one, and because I'm so fearful of my Father, right, I would sit here and say, okay, Father, I really want to be cautious because I don't want to move and make the wrong step or move, and then, you know, I forfeit, or then I'm into spiritual warfare heavier than I didn't have to be before, or I've accepted a deception that I didn't have to accept in the first place because I'm moving not on, you know, wisdom, or not on the knowledge that I don't have. This is my thought process, right? And so he knows me. He knows that I'm one of his children, that, you know, I'm gonna be like, Father, well, can you give me a sign, right? So because he knows me, and he knows that I'm one of his children like that, he knows how to deal with me. He knows how to tell me what he needs to tell me, and when to show me something. He knows these things, right? And let me tell you how, when you get deeper and deeper and more anchored in Christ, God, I mean, you guys will be building a relationship. And this is all Father is about. He's about relationship. He is not about, you know, religion and, oh, I have to do this ritual. God is not about that. Jesus came to die for all of that. Okay, at this point, it's all bondage. Jesus died for all of that. What Jesus came to do was to shed his blood, to take away our sins, the sins of the world, and to pour out his love, his unconditional love, so that we may walk in love. The Bible tells you, if you walk in love, if you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. There is no law. And a lot of people cannot comprehend that, because, and that's why, this is why Jesus had to speak in parables so many times, because we cannot comprehend. There's a lot of people that's not walking in spirit, and so they cannot comprehend the things of God. They cannot comprehend, oh, well, what do he mean if we love, there's no law? Are you serious? Then that means the world will be crazy. Are you crazy? If the world lives in love, we won't need law. This is what Jesus is saying. All right. If the world ran off of the spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit, if the world lived off of the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-discipline, long-suffering, if we all moved according to the word of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, there won't be any law. Why? Because we're all would be moving in the fruit of the Spirit, we all won't have even a thought to commit murder. We all won't even have a thought to steal. We all won't have a thought to commit adultery. We all won't have a thought to lust. You know what I'm saying? So this is why, for those of you who just couldn't comprehend why, what does Jesus mean, or why would he even say that, if we live in love, true unconditional love, we live in love, then there is no law. Again, with the fruit of the Spirit, there is no such law. There you have it. Okay, because if we're living in the fruit of Spirit, then we're not moving in anything that's opposed to the fruit of the Spirit, right? So we got to take account. We have to take account, okay? If God told you to do something, specific thing, and if you decide to be disobedient and not do that thing, just like this watchman, are we talking about in chapter 33, verse 6? Father said, if the watchman does not blow that horn, when he sees the sword coming for the people of Israel, if he does not blow that horn to warn the people, and by the sword the people die, then those people's blood will be on the watchman's hands. Why? Because he was disobedient and he didn't do the very thing that God told him to do so that his people can be saved, so that his people can be aware and make wise decisions, so that his people can have confirmation that, okay, this is what I shall do versus doing this. If he did not listen and move according to what God has spoke in the first place, then he would have been saved, the people would have been saved, right? But God specifically said, if he do not do what he was told to do, whoever passes away from that sword that he was supposed to warn the people about, the blood is going to be on the watchman's hands. So can you imagine that? I want you to apply that to your life right now. In your mind, in your heart right now, think of a situation. It could be anything. I'm talking about anything. It could be anything. In your marriage, raising your children, on your workplace, okay, in your career, in your gift, in your talent, all right? Anything. It could be in anything. Going grocery shopping, no matter what. It could be anything. If God told you to do something, if God gave you a word about something, if God told you to go across that street, even if you have to walk, go across that street and tell that person about the goodness of God. But because you're lazy and because you're like, well, I'm late for work, I can't do that right now. So guess what? If anything happened to that person and his salvation did not receive his salvation, because maybe when God told you to do that, no matter if you're late for work or not, maybe that moment when God told you to do that, that's when that person would have gotten saved. That's when that person would have finally, because you don't know their life from the past. You don't know what they've been dealing with. Probably that's when that person will finally receive their salvation. They will be saved. And then you gain a crown. And then that person gained their salvation. But because in that moment, you wanted to think about being late for work and what time you got to pick up the kids and what time you need to eat because you're hungry and what time you got to catch the bus. And you're thinking about all these things when God just gave you a descriptive to do. So now, for example, and I'm just being very real. I'm just being very real. If that person was dealing with a sickness that God knew that in the next couple of weeks, he will be absent from the body and present in his presence. Nobody else knows that, but God knows all. He knows all things. This is why he is sovereign, because he knows all things. But you didn't know. So now, when that illness takes that person out a couple weeks later, and he didn't receive his salvation, guess whose blood is going to be on your hands? Yep. It says it right here. His blood will be on your hands because you did not do what God spoke to you to do. You know, and a lot of people in the body of Christ, right? And you will probably hear me always say this, and I realize, because I really didn't notice too until I noticed, but I realized that God has me really emphasizing certain things about the body of Christ. A lot of the things happening in the body of Christ, God is not pleased with. I will say that. God is not pleased with a lot of things that's happening in the body of Christ. And a lot of people are saying that they're walking with God, but they're walking Pharisees, okay? A lot of people are saying that they're walking with God, but they speak of God, right? They serve God with their lips, but they deny the power thereof. And God is not happy. He's not pleased about that at all. And speaking of, a lot of people think that, oh, well, God must be a wicked God, because you could, any little thing you do, if you're not perfect, then he's ready to just throw you in hell. No, this is not the God I serve. And let me tell you, let's go to scripture. Same chapter, Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, this is him telling telling Ezekiel, right? This is him telling him that, telling him what to say unto the people, right? And he says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Let's pause. See, a lot of you people are misconstruing who my God is. You're misconstruing his character. And this is why I say get into your word, because you can only know God's character by knowing who he truly is, by how he truly moves, okay? And what his word says, what he has spoken, because anything God spoke must come to pass, and anything God speaks is not a lie. He's not a God that he shall lie. So whatever comes out his mouth is the truth. And so this is how you know the character of God. Okay, a lot of people has accepted God but don't know God. A lot of people has accepted God but don't know his character, and we're going around walking and talking about this guy that we don't even know, because we haven't gotten to know him, we haven't gotten to build a relationship with him, we haven't gotten in his word, we haven't gotten to see and hear what he's speaking and how he moves and how he does things. We don't know his character, but yet still we're talking and talking about God. This is that, again, we speak of God with our lips but deny his power. We're denying the characteristics because we don't even know them. And a lot of us are saying, oh well, God, he's such a harsh God, because anything you do, any little thing you do, you could look at somebody this way, and any little thing you do, he's ready to throw you in hell. He's ready to this. Are you crazy? The grace and mercy. If that's the case, we wouldn't have mercies that's new every single day. Do you know that every day you wake up, the things that you did yesterday, you have a chance to repent from them and be literally clean and pure? You see, us humans, and I could even say me, if somebody, for example, if somebody was to, my mom is already went to be with the Lord, so I'll use her as an example. If somebody had murdered my mom, I'm telling you, as the human that I am, I know I'm a child of God, and I will be, I could tell you right now, my spirit and my flesh will be at war. And every day our spirit and our flesh is at war, so it will be times 10 at war. Because if somebody had murdered my mom, let me tell you how that person could have repent, and God could literally wipe them clean from that murder they did. But you see me? I will probably still be holding on to that person and holding on to that grudge in my heart for that person, because to me, I look at them and I'm like, how can you? How can you? Who are you? Who do you think you are? How can you dare do that? But God has already forgiven them. But me, I'm still over here holding a grudge towards somebody God already forgave. You understand? So we like to call God a harsh God, a mean God, a wicked God, but God is the most gentle, the most, I mean, don't get it twisted. He's a jealous God, okay? He's stern, all right? Don't get it twisted, but he has some type of grace and mercy. He has, number one, to send his only begotten son to die for people who don't even care about him. My God. Now you tell me that's not mercy. Now you tell me that's not grace. Okay? And it says right here in his word that God said it himself. He said, as I live, which he lived forever and ever and ever and ever. You see, us, we die in the flesh. There comes a time when we have to die, okay? And then there comes a time where we live. Our spirit lives on, but it's a matter of where you're gonna live at. You understand? But at some point, our flesh has to die. God don't die ever, okay? God is alive and will ever shall be alive. Will ever be alive for the rest of your life, after that, he's eternal, infinity. Infinity has no end, you understand? And this is God. So Father said, and I love how God speaks, because, and I remind you, I'm in the King James Version, so more closer to the language or the way that they spoke back then, right? And I love the King James Version, right? So I love God because it's like he's being a little sarcastic, kind of, because God ain't never gonna die. God cannot die because he is God. So why would God say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, as I live. God, are you being funny? Can you know you always ever gonna live? God is so good. So he say, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?
O house of Israel. So he's saying, I'm telling you right now, I'm not pleased when you die. You're my child. Yes, you have wicked ways. Yes, you do this. Yes, you sin. Yes, you watch porn. Yes, you lust after that woman. Yes, you lie to your parents. Yes, you pretend to be someone that you're not. Yes, you have greed for money. God is saying all, and let me tell you how, and one of those things I named, I can assure you that you are one of them right now, or you probably used to be. So let me tell you, God is speaking to us. Yes, he knows even the people in Christ, even the people in the body of Christ. Let me tell you how, oh, glory be to God. We all sin. We all sin. This is why it's very important to repent daily. Secondly, because you can do and form sins that you're not conscious of, you know, subconsciously you're sinning, you know, and I'm talking about in thoughts. You could look at somebody and be like, oh, he fine. He end up being somebody, husband. And it's like, oh, shoot, I committed a sin because Jesus said, well, I truly tell you, even if you look at somebody else, you already committed. You know what I'm saying? So we sin every day. And this is why it's very imperative to repent. Secondly, when you come to your thought, it's so important to repent. But God is saying, I don't find pleasure in having you die. You're my child and I love you and I just want the best for you, and I want you to want the best for you, and I want you to see truth and turn from your wickedness. And once you do that, you're gonna live. You shall live, because I promise unto you that once you turn from your wicked ways, oh my goodness, you will live. And God says it here. He said, the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye. And then he repeated, turn ye. So ye, turn you, turn you, turn you, turn. He said it twice. Turn from your evil ways. For why will you die? Why are you choosing to die? God is looking at it saying, why are you choosing to die? When first of all, I sent my one and only son to die for you. The one that didn't have sin at all. I let somebody that did not have no type of sin in them die for people that have sin all up in and around them and still choosing the sin. Even as he walked in front of your face and showed you love and mercy, you still choosing sin. But I let him die for you. You think I'm pleased to see you fall? To see you fall into your wicked schemes? You think, and to die? You think I find pleasure in that? Okay, he's saying he don't. So in that case, why don't you just turn from your wicked ways so you shall live? Because why are you trying? Pretty much God is saying, for why will you die? Why are you trying to commit suicide when you don't have to? Why are you trying to do that when you don't have to? Okay, so we have to start taking account for the things that we do here on earth before we reach up there, because I'm telling you, and let me tell you how nobody can take account for nobody. If you were running with the wrong crowd and then it's like somebody asks you like, well, why did you do this? And oh, well, you know, John told me to come with him today. And I mean, I heard him over talking that they were going to rob that bank. But, you know, I didn't believe that they would do it. So, you know, I was there and I went. Well, John dragged me. He dragged me into. John didn't do nothing. In fact, John was truthful of who he was, what he was about to do. And you decided to partake in John's atmosphere, in John's, okay, doings. And the Bible tells you, bad company corrupts good character. We have to be wise. If you know that someone is not living according to where God is telling you to go, how God is telling you to live, what God is telling you to do, how he's telling you to speak, how he's telling you to walk, if you know that there's certain people, and it could be family, friends, best friends from years ago, cousins, it no matter. If you see that there's people that literally has corrupted behavior and it's going to corrupt what God is trying to do in your life, you have to move in wisdom. That don't mean hate them. That don't mean shun them. No, that just means move in wisdom. Don't hang around the company, because somebody gonna get corrupted, okay? And the Bible don't lie. The Bible does not lie. So back to verse 6. Look, whatever God tell you to do, you got to do it. You have to do it. You have to do it. And that's just the way to go for seeing the face of God. Okay, this whole chapter, your homework is to read Ezekiel 33, the whole chapter is speaking on life and death. Okay, this is what I take from it. It's speaking on life and death, and God tells us how to retrieve life, and he tells us how to retrieve death. And then at the end of the day, we have to utilize our what we always talk about, our free will, because God gives us, God is not going to allow us to do anything that we don't want to do. He's not going to make us do anything. So what God will do is present to you, you have this and then you have that, and there's no gray area. It's either this or is it that. God say, if you trying to be in the gray area, you trying to be lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So it's all about life and death. So what will you choose? It's time to take account. It's time to take account for the things that you are choosing. It's a choice. The things that you are choosing to do, the things that you are choosing to say, the things that you are choosing to be disobedient to, that the people that you are choosing to be around, although God exposed them and shown them to you, the places that you are choosing to go that God specifically showed you is not for you and his calling upon your life. We got to start taking account here on earth before we get to heaven, because when we get to heaven, and I sigh like that, and I did a pause because I mourn for people that know truth and still deciding to go the other route. And I know for a fact that, and I know the character of my God, I read his word and I know how he feels. So I know for a fact, if I'm mourning, oh my God, I could just feel the heart of God mourning because his people are deciding by choice to do the opposite of what he has told them would be the best ideal for them here on earth and in the kingdom. My God. Father, we come to you right now today. We just thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you for revealing to us who you are. We thank you for revealing to us your character and how you move, God. And I ask that you continue to pour into the lives of the people that's heirs is set upon this episode right now. I ask that you continue to open their minds and pour in your knowledge, God. Pour in your wisdom and your understanding, Lord God, so that we can know who you truly are and stop putting you in a box, Father. We repent, and Father, I will repent on the behalf of everyone that's listening or anyone that hasn't even touched this video yet, Lord. I'm repenting on my behalf and on the behalf of everyone else, Father. We repent, Lord. We repent for putting you in a box. We repent for putting limits on you, God, for you are a limitless God, and you are an abundant, an eternity, an infinite God. And Father, we just thank you for being who you are. And continue to show yourself to us so that we cannot shake you, Lord Jesus. Continue to show yourself to us so that we know truth and we believe truth and we have no other choice but to stand on your truth, my God. Father, I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and I rebuke and renounce and reject any enemy, any entity that is of the demonic dark world, Father. I send it back into the abyss and I return it back to sender, and I declare and decree that they shall flee from us right now. Your children, they shall flee from us in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, Father, we lift our hands and we say, Lord, whatever you tell us to do, whatever you tell us to do, wherever you tell us to go, we shall do, we shall speak, we shall see, we shall be, in Jesus' mighty name. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, and I ask you to pour your provision into our life. Let us see what you have called us to do. Let us see the journey you have beset upon us, and let us get your wisdom, knowledge, understanding, your strength, your courage, that boldness as a lion that you say we should be, and that endurance, Father, so we can endure until the end, because the race is not given to the swift, but is given to the ones that can endure, Father. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I am declaring and decreeing that we shall endure. We shall endure. endure, we shall endure in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. It is so and so shall it be. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So I just want to say thank you for tuning in to this episode, episode 15. Remember that episode 16. You know, they just happening so fast. So thank you for tuning into episode 16. Remember that the last episode of this first season will be next week, and that's episode 17. Ooh, I don't know. We might have a guest or two. Stay tuned for that. But again, if you have not tuned into Moving Monday, make sure you hit that link. Just go to the website www.cb17visionz.com, cb17visions.com, and check out everything that we have going on there. But I love you guys so much. Bless up yourself. Make sure you are taking account, okay, for all that you do, say, and think, and repent. Repent daily, repent secondly, as I would say. Okay? I love you so much. Bless up yourself. Coolie baby day. You done little tinga already. Mwah.
We pray that the message in this episode spoke measures into your life. As we always say, beautiful souls, take this word, take it to Christ, test the spirit, and let God reveal to you his hand in your life according to his will and his purpose. We love you, and as always, we are praying for you. Remember to stay prayed up, and we'll see you on the next episode.